1212 in the place to be, the lowercase MC. Shout out to Shylin. All right. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. No matter where you may find yourself as you listen to this and you're tuned in to the Only Sports Podcast at Brains and Bars. It's a Black and White Thing featuring A1 and A Ward. Please remember, you can check out every episode of It's a Black and White Thing by going to the podcast app of your choice, wherever you find a good podcast, search for It's a Black and White Thing or Brains and Bars. Please subscribe, rate, give us 5 stars, leave a comment. We appreciate that. And then you can also check us out here on most Tuesdays or Thursdays on YouTube. That's at our Brains and Bars. Hit the notification bell, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend it's those boys again, whether you watch or you listen. We appreciate each and every last one of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And as always, you can see I don't do this podcast by myself, but I got the homie A Ward in the building. What is going on, sir?
We're here. I know you got back in town early yesterday. I got back in town very late last night. So today's been a trying to be recharge day, you know. A few things around the house, mowed some grass. But yeah, for the most part, just trying to relax, man.
Yeah, I didn't do none of that. I came home, got to the crib, and promptly went to sleep.
During the day?
Oh, yeah. Came home, went to sleep, woke up, got lunch, laid around for a little bit, went back to sleep again. and then woke up when my family came home. Like,
dog, that's a good question. Wait, do you cut your own grass?
Negative. I have not cut my own grass since Tierra got sick.
Okay.
So back when she had Ethan and she got sick and I wasn't at the house. And so back then, I think it's a city rule as well in Kansas City when we lived in Grandview. Like if your grass got to be too high, the city, or I'm assuming someone called the city on you and they would leave a notice of, hey, you need to cut your grass. You've been warned.
Yeah.
Right. So I think the first time I had an uncle who helped me out and did it. But the second time, Jaws, I think that's how I ended up hooking up with Jaws is I think maybe Reese might have reached out and told me like, yo, man, Jaws, you know, he cuts grass and, you know, he's going to help you out. He heard about her situation, yada, yada, yada. And I feel like ever since then, I feel like Jaws has been, or, you know, some other person. We had little kids do it.
Yeah.
I keep telling myself someday I'm going to get back into it and like really get into the lawn care and maintenance thing. I'm not really, like, I would like to pick up a hobby that requires the use of my hands and the sweat of my brow.
One of these days. So,
yeah, I'm like, that might be the thing I have to do is to get back into. Although, you know, I mean, you've seen my house. It's a little bit of an incline. So I'm not keen on because it's a safety issue of going up and down, you know. Anyway, but no, I make too much money to cut grass. I have to
pay somebody. Talk. So do I. But I'll say this much. One of the very few times that I listen to music is when I cut grass. So it is my like time to go put my headphones in and just cut grass.
I hear you. I hear you.
So like that's kind of like my music time because, you know, obviously I can't be on my phone while I'm cutting grass, you know. And so when I'm in a car, I don't really listen to a lot of music or I listen to like worship music. So I'll take and like pull up a Spotify playlist or something like that and then, you know, spend an hour with some music. So.
Man, let me say this last thing before we get into, as we talk about music and make that segue. Let me just say one thing, man. Like, you know, traveling, I went to the airport. You know, like I said, we had to drop some people off, right? Took the rental back, all that good stuff. And so I pull up at the airport. It's like, we get there like 5 a.m, mm-hmm. right? My flight doesn't leave until like, I think 7:20, 7:10 maybe. So I had time and I went to McDonald's because I waited so late that I couldn't walk to the C terminal to get the Chick-fil-A and back. So I said, okay, McDonald's will have to do. So I go to McDonald's to get their breakfast. It's really the only thing I really eat there these days other than their fries and cookies. So I'm ordering, you know, little sausage McMuffin with egg and orange juice. And as I'm standing in line and observing, I know we've had lots of conversation about national security threats in our country and what's really happening at the border and immigration. We're not, you know, we're not accepting their best, quote unquote, whatever, however it may go. I feel like we have a bunch of homegrown threats inside our country that we really need to deal with, because at 7 in the morning, I saw a bunch of potential terrorists ordering large Cokes at 7. The sun was not even up yet, and people are ordering large Cokes to go with their bacon, egg, and cheese. And I'm asking, what is wrong with you people?
Don't attack me.
Oh, God, you're one of them?
Oh, yeah, easily.
Oh, God, what is wrong with you people? What is wrong? That is disgusting. The sun is not even risen. Like, you have not even had a chance to thank the Lord for the day, and you are starting it with Coke.
I started with Sprite, so I don't know if that's any better, but yeah, like if I'm like, I gotta, because I don't drink coffee, you know, and so like my caffeine intake, if I'm like early in the morning, like I need some caffeine, I don't drink energy drinks, I don't drink coffee, you know, like I don't do none of that. So I'm like, all right, give me a large Coke.
Wait, hold on. Keep talking. Explain. Hopefully you'll be able to hear me as I walk away from the screen, people. I have my earbuds in. I'm walking around my house because I got something that you could drink instead of Sprite or Dr. Pepper or Mountain Dew. Ladies and gentlemen, Ward asked me to get him a Mountain Dew, and as a good friend, I got him a Sprite because I'm like, no one should be drinking Mountain Dew unless they have a death wish. Now, instead of coffee, instead of Red Bull, instead of Sprite, you know what you could drink? Good old H2O to start your day, sir. There's nothing wrong with the
I got some of that too. And for the record, you did leave the full Fiji water in the fridge, and I drank the full Fiji water.
I appreciate that. You know, I appreciate that.
And so I took care of that and made sure that Fiji water was finished.
My departing instruction toward as I went to the store to grab more waters, I said, "Look, I won't be here tomorrow, but make sure you knock out that full bottle of Fiji that's in that fridge, and don't let it go to waste." So I appreciate that. But anyway, we need to have national security checks on you and people like yourself who are drinking caffeine that isn't, first of all, coffee's disgusting anyway. That's a whole other story. But if you're drinking Coke at 7 a.m., we got problems. We got issues, people.
Don't drink Coke, do Coke.
So, Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar. at some point, I don't know what, some point this morning, today, this afternoon, I don't know exactly when. I've seen conspiracy theories.
Went up on a Tuesday.
He dropped his diss record to Drake. It's called Euphoria. It is a 6-minute long record, and he is very direct at some points. So at some points, you got to read between the lines, but. As someone who is not a Kendrick fan, I just want to start with you. What are your feelings on this diss record from Kendrick?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. I mean, I like diss tracks, you know, and I just like I've not necessarily been a huge Kendrick fan, but I shouldn't say that, like, I haven't even given him the benefit of the doubt too much. Like, I listened to a song here, a song there. I haven't like just gone through his discography and been like, okay, you know, so I'll probably listen to like 5 to 8 songs of him, maybe 10 total ever, you know? But yeah, when it dropped, you know, and I'm listening to it, I'm just like, man, I think the directness, I think just the relentlessness, like there's punchlines in there. There's sarcasm in there. There's humor in there. There's just a lot. This verse, very, very versatile. It starts off with like the piano and just kind of like, you know, even just like the randomness of that, you know, all the way to the end, you know, like the humor at the end, you know, with "we don't like you saying that word." I just thought it was entertaining. And I thought it was good. You know, I think, you know, we had talked about, like, it wasn't shut the internet down good, in my opinion. Shut the internet down good, but I thought it was just really good, you know? And I thought to myself, like, this sounds like a track that you release that you hope is responsive to, so you can drop something a little better, you know, like, so that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, kind of throwing it out there. You catch the little fish, take the little fish, put it on the hook, you know, you out there, and then you catch, you know, so I'm hoping that that's what it is. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I listened to it about 6 or 7 times, and it got better every time I listened to it as well. So, you know, I spent about 45 minutes today listening to that song. So since it's 6 minutes long, so I probably listened to it about at least six times. And each time it got better. Each time I heard something different, you know. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's earth-shattering. I know I've seen people say, man, Drake better leave Kendrick alone. And oh, my God, like people are hyping it up. I will say this, like, you know, I feel like the fans, like, obviously, we are part of battle rap culture. And battle rap culture, people have their favorites and people will die on heels for their favorites, swearing that they didn't lose a battle, even when they did. And so I'm used to a level of biasness within the culture that is to be expected, right? But what Drake and Kendrick fans are doing with their level of stannery is making this borderline impossible to enjoy. I get on my timeline and I see all this, oh man, Drake is dead. He messed up now. To the Drake fans being super dismissive. Oh, this is light. This isn't, you know, Drake's up easy 1-0. And I'm like, oh, look, honestly, I feel like this is a preference. Mm-hmm. I feel like this first round between both of them is a preference round. If you prefer Drake, you'll prefer Drake. You prefer Kendrick, you'll prefer Kendrick. I think they both have really high points in their disses. I think they got some points in their disses. I feel like they got some why y'all lying in your disses. I thought Kendrick's diss was, first of all, I love like the, if you listen to Pimp a Butterfly, like this kind of smooth jazz opening to it with the pianos. And he's just kind of like, you know, I'm watching your empire crumble, you know, no superpowers get neutralized. I can only watch in silence, right? Like he's just kind of being just really chill before he turns up. I hate the production. I hate the beat after that, though. I'm not a fan of the beat once the pianos go away. But I do think he has some fire lines. The YNW Melly line I thought was fire. Let me think, what else he had in there that I thought was fire? The hemp, oh, to put you push a P, let me see you push a T.
I like the 1 verse 20, 20 verse 1, if I had to, you know, smack it right with, you know, yeah, that was really fire.
Yeah, I mean him saying like, listen, I hate the way you I hate the way you rap, I hate the way you talk, I hate the way you dress, I hate the way you sneak this. Like, he's being very direct. And I feel like the best way someone summed it up was like, you know, yo, Drake raps really well. But Kendrick battle rap just a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I can agree with that. Like, I think Kendrick did his thing there. I feel like with Drake, I'm like, bro, like, you have nothing else to prove. Do not continue to respond, because this is not there. At least on my timeline, there are enough people who dislike Drake that short of, again, a record that is hit him up, no Vaseline,
yeah,
Ether. Like, I saw someone try to say this Kendrick record was the our new Ether. And I'm like, come on,
yeah,
dog.
We're
like,
not doing that.
We're not doing that at all. Like, that's super disrespectful. But I don't think this is a battle that he can win, because he does not have the consensus on his side. And you know how this is in battle rap. When someone does not like you, it does not matter what you do. It is never going to be good enough. And so to me, there's no point in him responding. I think I had another point I wanted to make, but I completely lost it.
It was probably the fact that he just lives a messy life.
Yo, that is why he should not continue engage in this. He's super messy, and that messiness will definitely get him into some hot water. Like,
yeah.
I don't think he should continue to engage in this, because I do think that there's enough people out there who dislike him, who can get information on him that can make this, not that that people are going to stop listening to Drake, because Drake is always going to have core fans short of him, you know, Kanye and his career and just saying really wild statements that cause people to turn away from him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just feel like he should just take it easy, man. Just like, look, you proved your point. Yo, why do I know this name? Why do I know this name? The name looks familiar.
I'm not familiar.
I don't know why.
I could be incorrect, but shout out to Black in the building.
Shout out to Black, man. But yeah, bro, like, I personally don't think that there's anything that Drake can do to win this battle. I think he's going to lose it eventually because there are enough people in the culture who dislike him who are just not going to want to hear anything he has to say. And yes, well, the messiness of it.
I tweeted out the bar, the push P, pushing T, you know, and I put fire emojis. And the people just immediately is like basically going at me, like, are you kidding me, Ward? Like, I expect better from you. You're a battle rapper. This is trash. This is da-da-da. And I'm like, yo, you can't listen to diss tracks with battle rap ears. Like we're the best punchline, you know, like most creative, like that kind of material rappers in the world. Like, I'm better than Drake and I'm better than Kendrick Lamar at writing punchlines and like writing like creative stuff. I am. I mean, in a battle diss way. Yeah, I think so. I fully believe it, you know? And so, but like when I hear a line that I can see being a solid battle rap line come from like a Kendrick or a Drake in a diss format, like on Wax or whatever, like I listen to it a little different, you know what I mean? And so, you know, obviously the park is son or something like that, you know, like we're like, most people are like, oh, that was said by Arsenal in 2009, you know, or da-da-da-da-da, whatever. It's like, come on now. Like, at the end of the day, these celebrities and these rappers, they can literally go and take every line we've ever said and say it, and it would not matter. It would not. That's how more popular they are and how much nobody cares. Like, you know, Mickey Facts, we were talking about this in our group today, but Mickey Facts, and it's just like, you know, like, it don't matter, you know, that it's some, but it's like, to hear, like, Kendrick being very direct and using that kind of creative wordplay and pushing P, you know, but all that stuff. I thought it was impressive, you know.
Absolutely.
Did I think it would be, you know, a haymaker on a smack stage? I mean, from him, it would be, you know, if I said it, you know, it would probably wouldn't. But, you know, it's always who it comes from, too.
Shout out to Jarvis. He said he didn't waste a line. I hated that Parkinson's line. That part, I was like, but again, that is the battle rap fan in me, right? Because you're like you said, if somebody step, you know, got on here.
Never drink your water while I'm saying I'm better than Drake and Kendrick again, by the way. Keep going.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Like, listen. All I'm saying is this. Like, that bar was, I was like, oh, that's terrible. Like, that's not good. But again, I'm listening to it with battle rap ears, right? And someone who watches this stuff all the time. So, again, like, I think it was a dope diss.
Think about it. Like, we, to this day, you was a ballerina. I got the pictures. I seen you. Like, the lines that, like, Jay and Nas was, like, going at each other were not any kind of otherworldly punchlines. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you, so that's what, you know, I mean, that's just kind of how diss tracks operate, you know? But I think that Drake does, you know, obviously he's got one foot in somewhat the battle rap culture. And then Kendrick, you know, being from the West Coast, he attacked it in a very direct battle rap way.
I mean, I took a sip of that water when you said, you know, that Kendrick or Drake couldn't see. And I'm like, hey guys, if you would like to try, go ahead, take your best shot. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
The first thing I thought to myself was like, damn, Eunice should have sold that line to Kendrick. I put a Canadian by a German model like Miss Universe. We told franchise that this weekend. I was like, Kendrick would have said that in the middle of that diss, I'd have been like, yo, who wrote that?
Man, shout out to Jay Black. This comment says, no, you got to break it down. Drake's son has a tarp, toy car, park his son.
That makes no sense. He's got one of those power wheels. He was literally going.
All right, yo. So I don't have too much. Shout out to LeBron. He said, what about Chris Brown and Quavo? Hey, listen, I'll say this. When you want to talk about directness, Chris Brown definitely put a clinic on directness, because there was a, like, as much, I know there's a line from Kendrick where he's like, yo, don't mention my family again, or it's going to get serious. Like, Chris kind of skipped all of that and said, I wish you died. Right?
That's like, wild to me, because, like, they're all outside. You know, it's like, it's not this internet rapper that's, like, sitting on the internet, like, F your mom, F this, F your dad, yada, yada. This is like Chris Brown, like, yo, I can find you. I see your tour dates. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, he came out, like, I was like, whoa, okay then.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens, man. I'm interested to see what Drake does next. I know in his first diss, he teased a little bit of another record, like, yo. No. So, no, Jarvis, we're not saying that the Chris Brown diss was good if we're talking battle bars. We're just saying, like, he just went just super disrespect. Like, it wasn't about it, when it's real, it ain't got to run. You know what I'm saying? Like, he went there with it. Like, it's just, he just went to talking crazy. But no, like I said, I enjoyed the Kendrick diss. I listened to it one. This is probably my third time before I came in the house. And like, it is growing on me. At first I was like, it's cool. Like, I'm not saying it's trash. I'm not saying it's the greatest thing I've ever saw. I thought it was cool, but it is starting to grow on me. And I do think, hopefully the clock is now ticking, right? Cause all that energy Drake had about, yo, Kendrick, where you at? We've been waiting. Da 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 da. Now you got to keep that same energy, my guy. Now you got to turn around at this. I think I heard, I saw Academics with a Button. He said 7 business days is a timeline that he personally is giving Drake to respond. How long do you think he should take?
Well, my question is, I get lost in how many have each one. I mean, does this all stem from way back, like Control, like that kind of stuff? And it's all, or is this, it went Kendrick first and then Drake responded with one, then Drake responded with two.
I mean, this has been going on for a good little minute, right? So I'm not going to act like I'm the battle, the Drake and Kendrick historian can break this all down. This has been going on for a minute. I want to say there's a line in King Kunta, which is like 2015, 2016, which talks about ghostwriters. And I can't remember if that was around the time that Kendrick had all, or Drake's allegations had already been posted out there or not, but that, excuse me, they've been going back and forth, subbing each other, Control verses from Kendrick, first person shooter. Like, you can kind of go through and find different records where they're talking back and forth at each other. So they've been subbing each other for a minute. This is the first time they've actually stepped out into the sunlight and said, okay, draw your weapon. Like, what's good? Let's get it. Right. So again, I'm ready for round two. I feel like round one is a preference battle. If you're a Drake fan, you probably got Drake. If you're a Kendrick fan, you probably got Kendrick. Me, the more I listen to Kendrick's, the more I may be subtly sliding towards Kendrick's. Got that first round.
I love that drop and give me 50, man. I love that. I love that. Just the whole.
Well, I think this is part of the problem why Kendrick is probably up 1-2, because Kendrick doesn't have 20 people he's trying to diss, right? Yes. Like, he's got one target, where Drake in that record, he went at Metro. He's going at Ross. He's going at Kendrick, right? Yes. Like, he's got all these future. He's got all these different targets he's shooting at. And so it's like, okay, you're firing, and maybe your aim, your accuracy is good, but you got this one guy, and he's got you
in the scope. Yeah.
He's got you in the scope, and he's just firing off shots, man. So, I mean, yeah, I feel like when you were Sexy Red, you probably think it's two bad women in the room. Like, it had a little bit of everything. Had a little bit of everything, man. So, again, I rock with that, John. I think it's my first initial thing was, it's hit and miss. But the more I listen to it.
I think it was a beat that you know.
Oh, the beat. So, you don't have to actually, if you want to respond to this, you can. I know a lot has been made about Drake is making music that you can move, that is going to be played in clubs, where Kendrick is like, well, no, I'm not here to necessarily make a club banger or something that you're going to have on replay. I'm here to diss you. And so, like, you know, I don't know how you feel about that, how the production plays a part. Like I said, I hate the production after the piano goes away. I'm not a fan of the production.
Yeah.
I'm listening to it purely for what he's saying over the beat. Whereas with Drake, like, I'm rocking with the beat and with what he's saying. So,
yeah.
Dang, man, I had that point I had came back and I lost it just like that. if it comes back to me, I'll bring it back up. Anything else you want to say about Drake before we get into Monopoly 2?
Nope.
Dang. I don't. Oh, man. Anyway. All right. Monopoly 2. Monopoly 2 from the Riot. Shout out to the Riot that went down this weekend. You were in attendance. You were in the building for that. I'm going to say, like, to be honest, shout out to everybody before Eunice and
Franchise.
We were kind of paying attention to the battles before we headed out that way. I didn't get a chance to see it. I do want to give those artists a fair shake. So I am going to watch their battles. I started with D.I. versus L.I. the Mayor this morning. I got through the first round from both. So I'm going to make my way through that. We can have a full breakdown and talk about that maybe next week. But let's just start there. We'll start with Eunice versus Franchise, because that's the first battle where we were actually locked in, paying attention. And we were in the building for that as well. So
yeah,
your thoughts on Eunice versus Franchise?
Well, you say we were locked in. Like, I mean, I had
I'm sorry.
So I'm walking around.
I was locked in.
Going over bars in my head, trying to figure everything out. You know, I'm hearing the crowd react, but I'm definitely not up there, like, paying attention and being intentional about, like, watching the battle. You know, unfortunately, so, the only two that I really watched were Loso and Geechee and me and Tay-Rock, you know?
All right. So I'll go. So Eunice and Franchise, I think it was a really dope battle. Shout out to Trick Williams from NXT. NXT champion was in the building. He was standing right next to me. We were kind of engaged a little bit, talking back and forth about the bars. And as soon as I saw them, as we started to crowd in, and I could see Eunice and Franchise, and I think, shout out to Iller. Iller goes, there are no mics. And I'm like, oh, that's going to be a problem for Eunice. I watched Eunice live when he battled Hansel. And as he gets older, because I think Eunice is early 20s, his voice will continue to mature. His projection will probably get a little bit better. He'll be able to get his voice further into the back of those crowds. But the minute I saw no mics, I'm like, he's going to have a problem because Franchise is going to be there with full aggression. Relentless. He's going to be going crazy. He's going to be barking on him, and it's going to carry to the back of that crowd. We're going to be able to hear it a lot better. And so at certain parts during Eunice's round, even though we're like maybe 7 to 10 feet, you have people going, what'd he say? I didn't. And so that first round, I think, is, to me, is debatable. Franchise has a really strong start to his first round. So does Eunice. And I edge that to Eunice on the go back. I might change my mind, but that first round, I edge to Eunice. To me, the second round, clear for Franchise. I think he has the bar of the battle with the Smith and Wesson bar. My intersection? Easy. Smith and Wesson. And the thing was, it was a part of a whole segment where he was really turning up about what you know about this, what you know about that. And in the third, I feel like Franchise, he tailed off a little bit from where he was in that second. And to me, Eunice had a really dope round. And the thing about Eunice is, I feel like with his projection, I don't want to call it issue, right? But because he wasn't able to project, there were certain bars where, like, the fans were not. I mean, it was. So, for example, he has a bar by Arsenal, right? He's mentioning that Franchise used to play soccer. And he goes, you know, his dream match, Arsenal. And, like, crickets, nothing. And so, like, there happened to be an Arsenal fan literally in front of us. Me and Iller, who are the, you know, English Premier soccer guys, we're like, oh, that's fire. Mm-hmm. And we're literally the only three people in the entire room reacting to it. He had bars like that where at times where the projection just didn't carry or just didn't translate, where, again, he starts to fix that, you know, help, you know, try to get that across in a way that is a little bit more relatable. But this is little things because Eunice is an incredibly dope MC. I had a 2-1 Eunice, first and third. Really, I might have been, with no disrespect to you and Rock, might have been the most, it's up there. It's between, you two were between Battle of the Night. Between that one and those two, that was the best, to me, the best back and forth of the night. The best battle, one of the best battles of the night. To talk about, let's jump to
Snake Eyes and Riggs.
I had Riggs 2-1. I had Riggs 2-1.
So far, you've got the two. They both lost on the unofficial judging that went on for this event.
We're going to talk about that in a second. We're going to get to that in a second.
Okay.
I voted the opposite way of all the judges, right? I had Riggs 2-1, second and third. I thought Snake Eyes edged the first. I thought that Riggs got the second and the third. Dope battle. You know, sold a little bit of as a grudge match, and it had a little bit of that energy to it. But I feel like Riggs edged the second and the third. I feel like the bar of the night for that one was like talking about him being brim. He was like, I can't remember the bar, you know, verbatim, but it was like basically, I'm so brim that six man can't carry me out when I die. Right. I got that right. Yeah, I got that right.
I don't get it though. Six man, like why? Because it's a number thing with gang culture?
I think so. I think so.
But it hit. No,
but it hit in the room. I'm pretty sure. Well, yeah, six. Anyway, listen. You're not talking to guys who, you know, who come from that life. So
if we got
it wrong, please correct us. All right, moving on. Let's talk about Loso and Geechee.
Yeah, it's probably gang because like there's one gang. It's like five. You know, people call them five, and there's six. There's like,
and
like,
I'm assuming. I wonder, is it short for six?
Such a blood like. Since that's, you know, Brandon, maybe he can't have that number of people. But anyway,
yeah. Well, I know five is a part of blood culture. Maybe six is short for 60s.
Yeah, it might be.
So, hey, listen. Don't quote us. This is why I'm not on the Champion of the Year panel, guys. this is why breakdowns just like this. Anyway.
First of all, I'm just going to keep it a buck with you. 99% of the people on Champion of the Year panel except just Jay Black, maybe. Maybe.
Like, we're not doing that, man. I rock with Jay.
Everybody to know everything from anime to gang culture to you know English Premier Soccer to wrestling. You know, like, that's at the end of the day, you can't expect everybody to catch every bar. But you can expect
this is true.
To attempt to or not give their opinion on it if they don't understand it.
True, because there are a lot of sports bars that get no reaction. I'm just like, what are we doing here, people? Like, that was insanely fire. And they're just looking at me like, anyway. Loso Geechee Gotti, man. Let's talk about that. I'm going to be honest. I had Loso at every round. I know you said Geechee might have got.
I said the second was the closest is what I had. I had the second was the closest. I had the first round clear Loso, third round clear Loso. Second was the closest. You know, Geechee once again in the third round kind of has a shock factor rebuttal, that helped his round out a lot. But I just thought cohesiveness, rapping, just punchlines and everything. I thought Loso had the battle clearly. Geechee got to a lot of nice stuff in that second, but a lot of times setups and just rapping and stuff were kind of, you could kind of tell that he had a lot to do that weekend, you know? And there was times you could tell, actually, there might not have been times I thought Loso did a great job of not looking like, you know, he just battled 3 rounds, 3 minutes on Friday night, you know? I thought Loso did a really good job, but I think with Geechee, if I was looking at that battle, I would have thought Geechee battled on Friday night and not Loso. But it was still an entertaining battle. They did shorter rounds. I think they did 90-second to 2-minute rounds, which I think helped make it an entertaining battle. But I definitely had Loso winner.
Yeah, I had, like I said, I'm going to go back in that second round and see. Like I said, I thought Loso for sure first and third were very clear. I thought he got the second as well. And let me just shout out Loso. Like, again, we've seen battle rappers do things like battle on the same day. We've seen them battle on the same weekend, back-to-back nights, so on and so forth. But none of them, to my knowledge, have decided to take on two of the biggest names in battle rap in the same weekend.
Yeah.
And be dope in both of those performances. Yeah.
Not recently. Ilmac battled Hollow and Conceited on the same day. Back in the grind time days, you know. So that was, you know, but that's, we're talking over 10 years ago, over a decade ago.
Now, let's talk about judging real quick. Now, I'll get to that in a second. So, after the Loso battle, Josh comes up to me, which is one of Loso's homies. We dap it up. We're talking. He's trying to talk to me, and I'm like, wait. I need to listen. I put my earpiece in because I wanted to hear how they were going to score the battle. Because I'm thinking this should be unanimous. Like, this should
be. You got it pulled up on the pay-per-view.
I got the pay-per-view. By the way, if you hadn't gotten the pay-per-view, if you didn't get a chance to see any of the battles, go to rapgrid.com. It's one of the main banners, Monopoly 2. Click on that. Get the pay-per-view. Watch all the battles. Comment. Tell us how you scored it. And so I'm thinking, oh, this is easy. Easy Loso, right? But the first vote comes in, and it's Geechee Gotti. We then get to hear the fan vote. Fan vote, 61-39, Loso. So, like, the fans have scored this as a clear win for Loso, right?
Now, hold on. Let me ask you this. How was that fan vote working? Was it working like it's a live fan vote on the
– I'm assuming that it was on Rap Grid. That I'm assuming – I don't know where you were voting because I never heard, like, to vote go here. So I'm assuming that if you're watching the pay-per-view, that at the conclusion of the battle – I know King of the Dot has done this, right? When you would watch their battles, you wouldn't go to Twitter and do it. Within the pay-per-view stream, a voting tool would come up and you would vote that way. Okay, so I'm assuming.
I was just curious because, you know, a lot of times there's these polls that they have and it's like, oh, wow, 2,000 votes. Guess what? We only sold 500 pay-per-views. How does that work? You know what I mean? But, I mean, I'm not mad at that.
So I have no idea how they did it. So it's 1-1 because now we know that there's one vote for Loso, one vote for Geechee, and Loso's already won the fan vote. So in the case of a tie, we have that. Second person goes. I think they give it to Geechee. Now my memory is fuzzy, and I'm about to see if I can find it. Because I feel like it was a 3-2 Geechee. I think Loso gets one more vote, and then the final person, Tony Bro, didn't see the battle. And I know people are killing Tony Bro for this. But I believe he's probably outside listening to Snake Eyes' material because I believe they were the next battle after that. So I'm not Riggs, going to kill Tony
Riggs,
Bro.
Riggs' material, probably.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Pardon self. Riggs' material. Excuse
Stop me. Getting the ex-girlfriend mixed up with the new boo. Stop. Stop. You can't do that, man. You got to be better. You got to be better.
My bad.
Just call that. Call the new girlfriend the ex-girlfriend's name, man.
Oh, God. Thankfully, I haven't been in that situation too many times. But anyway. But Riggs, he's outside probably listening to Riggs' material as they prepare to go inside and battle because they were the final battle before you and Rock.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Deadass Talk, shout out to him. He's the final vote. And he'd already said in the beginning he had Geechee. So he's the final vote. Geechee wins the vote 3-2. Now, I don't want to. And then obviously the outrage starts on Twitter about this is unorganized. This is sloppy. That just that aspect of it. Then you talk about, yo, Loso got robbed. And in my estimation, I do think he got robbed. Regardless of how you feel like that second round went, to me, first and third were clear for Loso. Like, to me, that should not be up for debate. I say that as a jumping off point to this. I think I was in the car, obviously, when you do the interview with Three. And you talk about judging. You talk about judging Hansel and Eunice, right? So we already know your stance on judging, that it's not good for battle rap. Or I wouldn't say that it's not good, but it's not helpful, right? What does it take? What is the process of judging a battle? Like, what does that look like? What is your, what are you looking for? What is your preference when trying to judge material from two battlers in real time? Not, I get to watch it, go back, watch a replay, and then give an answer.
Yeah, for me, I mean, it's man, there's so many factors, but you're trying to process them all as you're watching a battle, you know, which is difficult. I usually start out with content, you know, content. Is this rapper saying things that are dope? Are they rhyming things and setting things up in a way that are dope? Are they rapping well, and are their rhymes, do they actually rhyme? You know, are the punchlines unique? You know, are they direct? Are they attacking their opponent? Is there any showmanship? Are they engaging the crowd? You know, and then you kind of goes into like performance, you know, what, you know, where the aggression, the like we talked about with Eunice not being able to project, you know, some of that projection and different things like that, you know, it goes to that as well. Then it's a full circle of cohesiveness of the round, you know, like, does this round unique in the fact that, okay, this round addressed an angle and there was different pockets here, and this round over here is just relentless punches, and this round, you know, like, I'm looking at all those different types of things, you know. The toughest thing about it is just that, like, I'm looking at it through the lens of what I look at, you know, like, we always like to pretend like, you know, you can compare this to like boxing or some other sport, you know, like how sport. And it's like, no, like, that ball goes in the goal. It goes in the goal and it counts for 2 points. And we say 2 points for that team, right? Mm-hmm. The only way we can say we're cheated is if we're saying a referee cheated them, right? We're not saying like, no, that ball went in the goal, and they're like, no, it didn't. You know, like, that would be delusional to watch a game and say, no, it went in, and it just banked off the backboard. Well, that's how battle rap judges like look at different things. It's like, there's no clear way to say, you know, oh, I think a punchline is a punchline, or you can't say something, you know, humorous, you know, and it be considered a punchline. Oh, he was just being funny, but that didn't do it for me. You know what I mean? So there's all of these different things that factor in. So when I'm watching it, I'm looking for that content, the uniqueness, the confidence, the performance, the cohesiveness of the rounds, the no slip ups. Like, if it's a close battle, I go down to that, you know, the intangibles of no slip ups, no, I need to grab my water real quick, or, you know, anything like that. And then it goes down to the, oh, this person had a rebuttal. They even kind of did something a little extra, or, you know, this type of thing. So, but at the end of the day, you know, it's even I would judge battles like very differently and maybe incorrectly than others, you know, because I think Rock's a legend. I love Rock to death. By the 10th or 11th low flip or horse flip or a flip, if I'm judging a battle, I'm tired of them. I don't care how good they are in the second and third round. You know what I mean? I'm taking points off because you're doing the same thing over and over. And that might not be fair to Tay-Rock because that, you know what I mean? So that's why I just say it's very, very difficult to go in and like judge these battles because, I mean, something that relates heavy to Deadass Talk might not relate that well at all to Chilla. You know, Chilla's a dean of students at Pendulum Inc. watching battles, probably wondering like, oh, you know, looking at it a little bit different than, you know, somebody else.
So is it, you talked about deducting points. Is it possible for you, for a battler within a round, to be so uneven? And I'm going to use this point system. I know we said we can't have like, you know, boxing rounds, right?
Yeah.
But is it possible for them to be so, to fluctuate so much within a round that basically they're left with zero, right? They didn't score any points, but they also didn't lose any points because of the unevenness.
I don't think in battle rap, the way the consensus judges battles, you know, is round by round. And it's 2-1, 3-0. That's the general consensus, right? So in battle rap, you can rap and win your first round. You can Tory Doe the second round. And you can rap and win the third round. And you can win the battle. Like, that's just how battle rap looks at it, you know? Now, they might be pissed off you chose to just choke four bars into your second round or whatever. And they might try to go back and say, well, maybe they didn't get the first round or maybe they didn't get the second round because they don't want to pick a winner that only been due. But for the most part, the general consensus of the way everybody looks at battle rap is I got it 1-0, I got it 2-0, or I got it 3-0, you know? Because most of the time when these big matchups, like it's me and Rock or Loso and Rock or Loso and Geechee, or if there's no chokes, guys are rapping at a, you know, from a seven to a 10 level. You know what I mean? Every round. Very rarely is someone in there just getting like destroyed in a round, you know, to where you might look at it like, yo, that first round was so overpowerful, you know, that I don't even want to give them any of these other rounds. You know what I mean? So I just think the general consensus is that's how they judge them, you know? Because even when people ask me, oh, I got, who'd you give the first round to? Who'd you give the, you know, like somebody that's judging it by like a 10-8 scorecard, 10-7 or whatever, you know, they wouldn't even go round by round because then it would look crazy. So they would probably just give a winner.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I didn't want to necessarily, you know, knock the judges, even though I disagreed. And again, in all the final four battles of the night that I was able to watch them in full, every winner, I disagree. Some where I feel like Unison Franchise, that first is debatable, right? Like you could say Franchise got the first and I'm not going to sit here and be like, nah, you're wrong. All due respect to Geechee Gotti, like you said, he had a lot going on this weekend. He was running a basketball tournament.
He was here the whole day, man. I looked over there, I was like, either he's completely locked in or he's got too much dip on his chip.
Yeah, so he's running an event, trying to make that happen and then rap. So I'm not going to sit here. And, you know, I mean, there is such a thing of sweat equity, right? Like Geechee has put in enough good equity into the culture where, like, you're not going to kill him because maybe he wasn't the Geechee Gotti that you're used to seeing. So that's fine. But to me, Loso won all three rounds. I'll go back and watch it, and maybe I come to a different result. To me, it's at worst, it's going to be 2-1. It's 2-1 Loso, 3-0 Loso. And listen, I know I talked about, hey, I don't know everything about game culture, yada, yada, yada. I know enough to be able to decipher 90% of bars, right? So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. There are some things I'm like, this is a little bit too inside baseball for me. I can know what's happening more times than not. And there wasn't enough crip talk in there to be like, oh, well, nah, bro, you see what you would have happened here was you missed this bar. Nah. I caught what was being said in the majority of that battle. Loso won first and third for sure. To me, this is not up to debate. Just with the angle he had at the end about his father in the third round. And then I know, like you said, Geechee had the nice rebuttal. And then he goes into kind of his own, a different type of pain talk from Geechee than we're used to about his own struggles and his own things that he's dealt with in his life. So it was a more of a vulnerable Geechee, more so than than we're used to see, or a different side of vulnerability from him. But even with that, I thought Loso got the third.
You know, they might have gave him points for that, but yeah.
Maybe. So, y'all let us know what y'all think, man. Y'all go to Brains and Bars, Facebook, IG, Twitter, TikTok. How did y'all call that battle? Who do you think won? Let me also, before we get into Rock and Ward, let me say this small commercial break is brought to you by Red Lobster. If you are a millennial, you need to go to Red Lobster, help save Red Lobster. We can't lose Endless Shrimp. We can't lose the Cheddar Bay Biscuits. Go to a Red Lobster this weekend, patronize. There's 300 people in here. If all 300 of you take your families, we can do a little bit today to try to save Red Lobster. All right, that's been my TED Talk. Thank you for coming. All right, so let's get into the main event, Rock versus Ward, one of the more anticipated battles of the year. You were there, sir. How do you feel like it went?
Yeah, so let me first address, I'll just first kind of address a little bit more about the whole judging thing before we go into it. You know, just I know that Let's Talk Battle Rap kind of put out a couple of their captions today from my interview with Three Letterman. So one, you know, the reason this card was judged in the first place was because there's a gentleman who has a connection with battle rap, who's actually reached out to me a few times. We've had discussions or whatever. He's always been a nice guy. He's always just been kind of DMs on Twitter or Instagram, you know, just had some discussions, a couple about battle rap, sports betting. Don't have anything negative to say about him at all, you know. But he came up with, I guess, this site that I don't know if he, you know, created himself or whatever, but it's called Wager Attack, because he wanted to put together a way for people to bet like they do on FanDuel and DraftKings on other sports on battle rap. So, you know, he puts this thing together, and, you know, this weekend was like his first time partnering, I guess, with leagues and putting out, you know, different odds and stuff like that. So, you know, he partners with Politics As Usual, the event that happened for Bullpen, and he partners somewhat with Monopoly. They put out the odds. Now, Politics As Usual it wasn't as much of a big deal per se because, well, actually, it probably was a little bigger deal because the mayor that put that event on threw a whole bunch of money at the winners of these events. So now they're judged battles, but battle rappers, if they're looking around and seeing $20,000, $30,000, and $40,000 on the floor, they're probably going to be like, okay, I got a chance at winning this bag. You know what I mean? Like, we can have it judged, you know? Monopoly, there was no money. Like, to my knowledge, there was no extra money for anybody that won. There was none of that, right? So this was merely just them partnering with a company, Wager Attack, to say, all right, cool. Because you need to have winners and losers to pay out the people that are downloading this app and betting on battle rap. You know, we'll get together four judges and we'll judge these battles. I didn't like it. I didn't like it because I thought, you know, if you're making the decision as a league to judge my battle unofficially or officially, whatever it is, you need to reach out to me, you know. You need to reach out to me and say, yo, Ward, this is Boom, you know, and then I'm probably going to say we got to renegotiate because if, you know how battle rap is, if it's a classic or whatever, and all of a sudden I agree to a judge battle and it's a crazy debatable battle and I take an L, they're going to give me that L for the rest of the year. You lost. It's going to be branded, narrative, everything for the rest of the year. I know it's a great battle, but you lost, you know, and that's just a risk that comes with judge battles, you know, that you have to take. So I didn't like it. I always said I did a couple interviews before the battle. I did a Spaces and this stuff. And I, excuse me. I told him, I was like, you know, I didn't agree to it. I'm not with it. So I say all that to say this, we get to the event and Gotti's coming up to me and asking me about judges. And I said, you know, like, I really, obviously I don't want this battle judged, you know, but I said, have you talked to Tay Rock? And he's just like, no, not yet. Waiting on him or whatever. And I was like, yeah, because I'm just, you know, I never really agreed to it being judged. And that's just not how I approach battles. And he's like, I think Gotti's kind of just communicating to me, like, we have to have it judged. Like, we have, you know, we have this, you know, whatever it is, you know. At that point, I'm just kind of in a situation where I'm like, I'm not, I need to lock my material in. So he asked me, I think, two judges. He's like, are you cool with daylight? And I'm just like, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, what about Calico? I'm like, yeah, it's whatever, you know. And then he's like, all right, I'll try to find some other judges. So I haphazardly approved two judges, you know, whatever. Rock comes in. I talk to Rock. I said, God, he's looking for you. He wants you to approve the judges. Rock's like, judges? This is not a judge battle. I said, thank you, Rock. That's exactly what I wanted you to say, because that's exactly what I said. He said, nope, not in my contract. This, that, and third. I'm not getting no money from it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're not judging my battle. I said, bet, you know? So I say all that to say this. I think that it could have been done. I think that it still could have been done without the way that they did it. You know what I mean? I think they could have had judges or had somebody watch the battles afterwards for their app, and then Wager Attack, their website, this guy could have announced the winners based off, you know, judges that were in the building. When Riot and Geechee and the live pay-per-view are telling the people, the judges, and announcing the judges, it co-signs it as a legitimate, almost like a legitimate, you know, judged battle. And this is a third party that just needs judges to pay out people. This is not anything that's, you know, so that's what I was kind of like. I wish that they would have just done it a certain way and had Wager Attack and, you know, announce the judges and confirm whatever. But the minute that they're announcing judges and they're putting people on streams and they're doing this first and third or whatever like that created an event of judge battles that, you know, that a lot of us never agreed to, you know. And I would feel the same exact way if I won the battle, because I campaigned 2-3 times leading up to the event publicly that I don't, you know, it's not a judge battle, you know. And so I say all that to say this. The battle was great. I thought the battle was great. You know, we get there. Rock gets there. He's got his people with him. You know, he's got Trick Williams in the building. He's a wrestling fan. He's wearing his WrestleMania hat. You know, I got good wrestling bars in my material. You know, like, there's fans behind us that are kind of on the risers. I like the aesthetic. They were able to get that one light that was annoying everything early in the event turned off, you know, and a good crowd. Luckily, with the two battles that didn't happen, it really helped on the time. We were out of there around 10 o'clock, so it didn't feel like it was a tired crowd. People were, like, just disinterested or anything with what comes with being the main event a lot of times. But, yeah, you know, listen, up-and-coming battle rapper, if you're ever at an event and Marv 1 is there, ask him what to call, heads or tails. I'm literally like 5 for 5.
I was going to say 5 for 5 or 6 for 6.
Yeah, I'm literally 5 for 5 with Marv 1. I look back at Marv, what I call? Heads. Boom. Heads. I don't know what it is. You know, he's the best to have in your corner for the coin toss. So I win the coin toss. I'm excited, obviously, about that. Leading up to the battle, Tay Rock was telling people he was going first. You know, I'm not, you know, I wasn't born yesterday. Actually, Tay Rock was born yesterday. Well, so I wasn't born yesterday, but, you know, going into battle, he was never going first, you know, but he was going to let the coin flip, whatever. So he raps, you know, he raps, and man, he was good. But I'm like, no, this is not good enough as I'm listening to him rap, you know. Hit a couple bars when he finally got to the horseback riding bar. I wonder if the logo, Halo over A, the Angels thing, I wonder if that was in the first. I like that, the way he named
it. Yeah, well, I think it was.
The way he named it was. Both. I thought that was very, you know, unique, and that was a good bar. And there was a handful of other ones, but like I'm sitting there listening, and mind you, I'm also listening. I'm trying to orchestrate rebuttals. I'm like, all right, you know, tune them out. Here he said this. Let's figure out, can we do this? He said this. Let's figure out, can we do this? You know, so I didn't miss a lot too, just tuning him out. But the round ends, and I'm just like, oh yeah, like yeah, this is, you know, I felt like my first round was a crazy round, and probably, you know, my first and second I knew were like my two best rounds. In the third, I thought had the possibility of being my best round if I executed it correctly. But yeah, first and second, I was like, man, I felt really comfortable. So, you know, we start off with the rebuttals. He gets hit with like 3 rebuttals. And then, you know, one of the things that one of the things that I just kind of like always am doing in my mind is not only am I thinking about the rebuttals, like I'm thinking about everything that has to do with battle rap content and how this is being executed, you know? So while I'm thinking of the rebuttals, right, I have to make a decision. Okay, Ward, are you going to hit them with three crazy rebuttals, have the crowd going crazy, and then start your intro? You know what I mean? That could really just disrupt the energy, right, of how everything's going, if I, you know, because the intro's conversational and I've already started rapping, and then boom, halted, you know? And so as I'm thinking about the rebuttals, I'm saying to myself, okay, here's what we're doing. You know, you got three rebuttals that are all gun bars, you know, like you don't have to throw away the threw rock at me intro. Actually, you can create it as if it's a part of the rebuttals that you're just doing, you know? And so that's kind of like some of the things that I'm able to do on the fly that I'm always thinking about, you know, the battle rap IQ of it is just like, yeah, I don't have to sacrifice this intro, you know? And I'm glad I didn't because, man, that might have been the heaviest hitting bar of the whole round with the threw rock at me, maybe even the whole battle. You know, so we come out the gate, three crazy rebuttals, boom, threw rock at me, and I'm downhill from there. Feel very good. Done with the first round. Oh, that's in the bag. You know, that's clear to me. You know, it's good. It's good. And so, you know, he raps his second round. The second round, similar to the first, maybe a little bit better, in my opinion. I think it was less dry spots, but I don't remember him having a bar that as crazy as the horseback riding. maybe the shots run off and the horses start running was in the second. That could have been. That might have been the first two, actually.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah. I have to watch it back.
But you know, second round was just kind of similar to the first. Like, you know, I heard him punching, and there was just dry spots and bars that just didn't hit for me. More name flips, and then second round again, boom, come out rebuttaling, hitting on all cylinders. You know, even the intro that I had for the second, the fireplace and everything like that. You know, like was just you could say it was resonating just the rhyming and everything. And so from there, boom, downhill again, end it with the Monopoly stuff, which I thought was some of the best material, you know, in the battle as well. And I'm going into the third, like I'm up 2-0, you know, I'm up 2-0 clear. That's how I'm feeling, completely clear. He raps his third, he was angling. So I'm like, okay, cool. The minute you start hearing like a puncher or somebody who's normally just killing you and name flipping you start angling, I'm like, okay, he's going to get extra points for this. You know, they're going to look at this like, oh, this is a different type of rock round. You know, this is a different type of rock, whether it's executed well or not. And he had a good round. He had a good third round, you know, with the angles that he chose. And so I'm going into my third, but I'm still feeling like my third is comparable to that. And, you know, I hit with a couple of rebuttals going into the third and get to my angles. And the first half of the third, I thought was executed well, but the second half was the important part because to me, it had like the big haymakers and the aggression and back to like the just relentlessness. And as I slipped up on a word in one of the lines, like halfway through the round, it continued. And I slipped up on like two more words. And like I said, man, I'm my own worst critic. You know, I'm a perfectionist, you know, some people. Like I probably am bringing more light to these word slip ups than anybody watching the battle, you know, is going to like really give me a hard time for because everybody does it. You know what I mean? But I just hate it. It just doesn't sit well with me. You know, it just irritates the mess out of me because it's uncharacteristic. So I slip up on a few words finished the round fine, you know, or whatever. But because of those slip ups and because I just didn't bring it home and he kind of had that angled third, which was, you know, a pretty good round. I give him the third round. So, but I thought I was up 2-0 clear. But the minute I got on the stage, it's that feeling that, you know, like we were talking about earlier, like when you leave the door open, you just leave people at a reason to be like, nah, I think I had it 1-1 because they want to give Rock the third. You're going to have that, you know? So, from what I understand, I lost the fan vote about 65 or something to 35 or something, or 60 to 40. I don't know.
Last I heard it was 61-39.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, you know, I mean, I thought it was a great battle. I thought it was, I got off stage and I was like, man, I'm the kind of person where people were entertained and they enjoyed it. They had a great time. And I'm looking around and everybody did. I get off stage. Everybody's shaking your hands, man. That was great. That was worth the money. Boom, boom, boom. Yada, yada, yada. It's just real disheartening when you get online and then you have like the people that are watching online feel differently because they're not there, energy in the room, you know, type stuff or whatever. And so there was a different feeling online to where like, it was a cool battle. It was all right, you know, but there's an expectation put on me for Riot battles. If you think about Rum Nitty being battle of the year, you think about the Geechee Gotti rematch, and then now you have the Rock battle. It's the next huge battle. It's like, bro, like the expectation is this is going to be out of 42,000 battles every year, this has to be a top five battle, you know? And this is like, nah, man, like, it was a great battle, you know, with a legend who came, brought three rounds after battling Friday. And I thought I had great material too. So I had a good time though.
Yeah, man, I thought it was a good battle. I think I won't necessarily go great, but I think it's a really good battle. I think it has really good replay value. I think there are moments from both sides, right, that are very interesting. I don't think we got really any classic Rock spazzing on you after the bar really lands. Maybe one in there. But I think, like I said, I just think this is a really good battle. Like I said, I think the trick shot rebuttal was crazy. Obviously, the rebuttals in the beginning.
The daylight rebuttal. Yes,
the daylight rebuttal. And I think, to me, Rock's reaction to that also makes it a moment.
Yeah.
Yes, that was the vote for Loso Geechee. And so, like, I think it was, like I said, when it drops, I'm going to watch it several times, not just because it's you, but because I think it was a good Rock. I do wonder how different this battle looks if he isn't as active leading up to it, because I think for him, battling as much as he has, I think that has an effect on you. And I do think, you know, I started to watch Loso versus Rock today. So I got through the first round, and like the energy he had in that one, he's a lot more amped up. Like, yeah, he is, I mean, he's drenched in sweat after his first, you know what I'm saying? And not to say that he wasn't, I had to go back and watch your battle to say he was the same, but I just think that the work that you guys do in memorizing material, and I'm pretty sure he was writing up until the last minute, trying to get locked in, even if he wasn't full rounds, half rounds, just doing tweaks here and there and trying to lock in that material. That takes a lot of energy to try to sit there and memorize. You guys are freaking vampires, pardon the pun, because of the opponent we're talking about, but you guys are staying up 1, 2, 3 in the morning, waking up earlier than you normally would to go over this stuff. Then you're waiting all day. That takes a toll. And when you've done that twice in 48 hours, it's hard to keep that level of energy up. So I do think his energy wasn't the same as it was for the bullpen event, but I still think it was a good Rock. And I go back to say the same thing I've said all the time when talking about him. Rock always gives you, whether you think he won, lost, debatable, he's always giving you the best that he's got in each battle. I dapped him up at the end, said, y'all, appreciate this run you on. Appreciate what you brought tonight. And I feel the same way. Tonight, in my estimation, not just because you're the homie, I think objectively, I scored the same as you. I thought he got the first and second. I'm sorry. I thought you got the first and second. And I thought that he got the third, in part for one of those things you talked about. I don't know if it was his best round, but it was consistent with the first two. Had the angle in there at the beginning about, you know, the URL thing. And I thought it was a good round. And because of the, I'm going to say choppiness, I'm not sure that's the right word, but at least the stumbles, right? Or just the slip-ups, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like he gets that third because those things matter, especially when a round is close. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like I said, thought it was a good battle. I think it has replay value. Will it be, you know, seen as a battle of the year?
Probably not.
Probably not. Probably not. But I'll say this. I know people throw this around a lot, but I mean, I feel like you have to, the ride has not been around long enough maybe to throw this out here. And maybe this might be foolish to say, but I do feel like we got it when we talk about, you know, who's the king of the Riot. I feel like it's got to be you. When you look at the resume, like you said, I almost said ad. That could be a future Riot opponent, by the way. But talk about Geechee, you talk about Rum Nitty, talk about Tay Rock. Like, you have you've built in this small time that this league has been operating, you built a really elite resume of opponents, and they're all, from your side of things, they're all really good performances. And like I said, not to take anything from Rock, he had a good performance as well. I just thought that you were a little bit better that night. Yeah. Not just a little bit better, but a couple of levels higher that night. So yeah, man, I thought, like I said, overall good event, good vibes. Yeah, thought it was a good time, man. So y'all let us know what y'all think, man. Once again, if you haven't had a chance to see A-War versus Tay Rock, go to rapgrid.com. Monopoly 2, it's one of the first banner, might be the first banner on the website when you log in. Grab that VOD, go check it out. Go check out Bullpen. I don't want to short them either. Go check out Bullpen. Politics is usual.
Nah, F Bullpen. Trying to do an event 2 days before. No, I'm just kidding. Make sure y'all go grab that Bullpen card too.
But go start with Monopoly. Then yeah. Go to Politics as Usual. Start there. Fast. So spend your money now. And when you get paid on Friday, then go support Bullpen, right? You know what the thing they need to do in the culture? They have Afterpay. Have you ever seen that? When you go buy something,
man, we break it down there for payments.
Hey, so everybody ain't got the money up front. You know what I'm saying? But if they can break it down into, you know, two, like 15 and a quarter payments.
Listen, bro, at this rate of like quantity of battle rap, like it's becoming $100 a month to follow the live pay-per-views that are of significance. You know what I mean? And like, that's crazy. You know, like
that's word to my wallet. Dog, word to my wallet. Crazy.
And that's why, like, you know, another reason why, you know, people get together and watch the battles or bootlegging and stuff like that is because people want to be able to have opinions and watch the battles. But dog, like, I mean, I don't spend $100 a month watching anything, not movies, not sports, not, you know what I mean? Even my cable service ain't even $100 a month, and I can watch everything all day. You know what I mean? And like I said, I'm a battle rapper. I get paid off of these sales, so I'm not, you know, thank you, mama. Mom, you better always think I won, even if it's debatable. And you better say something. I do appreciate everybody that takes the time out to buy these pay-per-views. And I do appreciate the leagues like the Riot who, you know, do a good job of putting the pay-per-view on, making sure it's worth the money, you know, with the amount of cards, the battles they have on the card. And releasing the battles in a timely fashion too for the ones, you know, that aren't unable to buy the pay-per-view. You know, a Riot does a good job at that without them having. But my inbox is full of people saying, when does this drop? I'm like, my guys, like, I mean, it happened 2 days ago, a day and a half ago.
Hey, listen y'all come together this weekend. Get that 65 together, put in, and y'all as a family sit down after you come back from Red Lobster. After you come back from Red Lobster with the illest trip, go sit down as a family and go watch War versus Rock on rapgrid.com on that VOD. See, look at that. That just sound like a plan. That's like a plan to me. Anyway, we about to get out of here. I just want to say real quick about some basketball before we bounce, man. Real quick, Lakers eliminated. Jamal Murray does it again. Like, he's going to be one of the most hated players in Laker history because of what he's done, not only in this series, but last year, so on and so forth. So do you think LeBron James is going to retire? Because I think there was a tweet from Kerry Champion that said that LeBron James has played his last game as a Laker. Now, I don't know if that means he retired.
He got dunked on. Come on, you can't. Your last game, you can't get boomed on by Jamal Murray, and then he hits a last-second three and to get you up out of the playoffs? There's too much pride. You got to at least go play the first game of next season and then retire. Like, you got to – you can't do it. You can't do it. You know, he obviously didn't exercise whatever the option was, or he's a free agent now, is what I read. I also read that, the Lakers are obviously very interested in possibly drafting Bronny in the second round so that he can play with LeBron. I mean, if that's his goal, is to play a season with his son, he might be back as a Laker with his son, if that's his goal. if his goal is to like win championships, I just don't see that happening. I just don't. I mean,
not in LA.
Like, unless he goes somewhere else, you know, and joins a squad, unless he ends up with Golden State, you know. And, you know, I mean, that could be a crazy, you know, him at Golden State, and, you know, then they,
that'll be so whack.
Yeah, it would be whack. But I mean, let's be honest, LeBron's already done everything he can do. Like, him, like, you know, now, granted, if Golden State drafted his son first and then he went to Golden State, it looks better, right? It's like, yo, I told y'all I want to play with my son. Now I have free range to go to a team without any kind of like backlash. But I did tweet last night. I said, dang, LeBron James got dunked on in his last game ever. Because that's just kind of the feel it gave me, bro. Like, man, when you think about it, after getting swept last year in the Western Conference Finals, the year before, I believe they used to lose in the first round, the year before they missed the playoffs, the year before, like it's just not – since the bubble, you know, it's just been bad. It's just been bad, you know, since the bubble. I know they're making the playoffs for the three of those 4 years or four of those 5 years, but, like, you know, it's just not been good the way that they've been, like, dismissed from the playoffs. And the Nuggets are living in their head rent-free. The Nuggets are just like, you know it doesn't seem like it's going to slow down. The Nuggets are young, you know, they're young, they got their pieces, and it's like, you know, so I do think that that was his last game as a Laker. I don't think that he's going to retire, though. So it should be an interesting offseason.
Man, part of me hopes at the Olympics they win gold, which I have some concerns about their team and their age. They are very old. I'm at very key positions. And although a lot of the key players, Booker, Durant, LeBron, the AD, and Embiid's probably going to be going home here in a second. That might be your starting five. And they all getting rest in preparation for the Olympics. So maybe that'll help them. But I hope he wins a gold medal and he says, you know what, that's it. I'm calling it a career. Like, I'm done. What else is there for him to accomplish? Yeah. This idea of, you know, KD potentially, you know, having concerns about Phoenix and maybe leaving. Bro, everybody can't win a title. You can't win them every year. And I really hope, I don't know. Like, I really hope that if he chooses to come back, he comes back not to seek to chase a ring. If it is to play with his son, come back, play with your son, and then go off into the sunset. Because my bad.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think the toughest thing about it is that, you know, when Brady went out, right? Like, that last season of Brady was kind of like, mid. Mm-hmm. It's very mid, you know? When Peyton went out, you know, you know, like, he was still there mentally, you know, but like LeBron in this year is still putting up like all-star numbers when he's on the court. The thing about it, though, as I watched the Lakers this year, I watched them play with him, without him, with AD, without AD. He didn't seem to make them that much better, even though he was putting up those numbers, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
He didn't seem to be like, thank God we have LeBron or we would have missed the playoffs, you know, or we would have, you know, like, I do think that, like, with some, you know, like that he was not, I mean, he's putting up great numbers, so he probably doesn't want to retire because he's like, yo, I'm a 25-8 guy. Like, why retire now? You know, Vince Carter was, what, an eight points, you know, two rebounds, 12-minute guy in his 21st year. It's a little different. So it's hard to kind of mentally say retire when your body and your points and your stats and everything say you're still one of the top players in the league. So that's why I don't think he's going to retire. But if he does get a gold medal, I mean, that could kind of change a little bit of the mindset, like retiring on top. I'm retiring with a gold medal rather than retiring by getting gentlemen swept, you know, by the Nuggets.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. Like I said,
a couple of those games where they lost 20-point leads too. You know, you're like, man, we could have won this series. You know what I mean? And so that's going to be tough for them too. It's like, you know, we just got to get a new coach, and we just got to get a couple other pieces. But literally for the last 4 or 5 years, all they've been doing up is blowing up the team, sending guys other places. Now Malik Monk's balling. Now Caruso's doing good over here. Now such and such doing good over here. You know what I mean?
KCP. KCP. Like they didn't.
He was putting they buckets didn't. On them boys. Brandon Ingram, like.
Yeah. If he comes back, the problem is the Lakers have mortgaged so much of their future. Like, I don't think they have a draft pick until like a first round draft pick to like 2027 or something like that. They've given away so much in the pursuit of always trying to chase these high priced assets. I've already seen, what about Trae Young? And I know Trae Young would be, you know, that is looking ahead to the future post LeBron of an AD Trae Young pairing. Excuse me.
AD's not far behind retirement. Like he's just Mr. Glass, man. He's just Mr. Glass. He keeps taking hits and taking I just don't see AD playing for more than 5 more years.
Yeah, maybe. And let's just say if this thing falls apart before that draft pick, before they're able to have a first round draft pick, let me see if I can find this out. When do the Lakers have a first round pick? So, well, if I can click on it. 2027. I was right. 2027 is the first time they have a first round draft pick. So the next 3 drafts, no first round pick.
That's crazy.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, I just don't know if they'll be able – like I said, if that thing falls apart, they're going to be looking – well, they're the Lakers. They'll always be able to get somebody because it's L.A. Right. But how many times can you continuously mortgage your future in pursuit of that, especially when building through the draft, to me, is the best way to go?
Right.
Shout out to the homie Illick. Said KCP is the only one that's won something. Honestly, everyone has played well, but – haven't won. I mean, this is true, but
Malik Muntz is pretty much sixth man of the year. Like, I think he lost by one vote. Like he, you know, like, of course, they're also going to teams that, you know, like, are teams that are not, you know, not necessarily. But I'm saying, like, I think that if you still have Brandon Ingram and KCP and you cultivated, like, you know, kept some kind of a core of what they got going on, you know, or played a certain way, like, they're benefiting a little better than from some of these other guys.
Yo, do me a favor. I have this question. I'm going to put you solo screen for just a second because I got to do something. Is Joel Embiid somebody that you can count on in the fourth quarter? Go.
You put yourself on there. That's me.
Yeah, I know.
Is Joel Embiid about to be the fourth? I'm going with no, not yet. Like, Joel Embiid is a dominant regular season basketball player, but I just haven't seen from him the ability to kind of carry his team. One, it seems like, I mean, obviously this year with the injuries and the fatigue, the last game, it just seemed like he was out of it. It seemed like every time he got the ball, you know, he comes off the screen. He doesn't shoot the 12-foot jumper to tie the game. He tries to take it in for a layup off the baseline out of bounds play. You know, like, to me, like, a dominant Embiid has the energy, has everything to, like, boom, one step, boom, left-hand dunk. He's going here, trying to throw it up, misses the shot. Like, he just doesn't look himself. And so, as of right now, like, he's not a guy that I'm like, yo, as long as I got Embiid in the fourth quarter, I'm good. You know, that's just – he's just not a guy that's doing that for me. He's not like how I feel about a Jamal Murray, even a Jalen Brunson right now. I feel about him, a Jokic, you know, there's a bunch of guys that I feel that way about, but Embiid is not doing it right now. You're still muted? Are you good?
No, I'm not muted. I had to double check. I had to check something because I want to make sure. Did Frank Vogel get fired and I missed it?
He might have. He might have, but Frank, I didn't know if Frank Vogel's the problem.
I don't think they are either. No, I haven't seen it yet. Sorry, I just saw it. So I'm going to tell you why I said this. Unless Iller knows the future.
Which sometimes
I don't, because he says they shouldn't have fired Vogel. And I was like, wait, did I miss something?
No, I think he's talking about the Lakers shouldn't have fired Vogel.
Oh.
Ham.
I think this is true. I think that's true. But it's to answer the question, no, I don't think I don't know, man. Like Embiid can be so good, especially in the regular season, but I feel like in the playoffs when things get tight, I just feel like there's something missing. There's something there. Like he needed a Jimmy Butler type to be by his side to help get him through those moments. And I just don't know if, you know, if he decides, well, I want to go someplace else because Philly's not doing it for me. I don't know if going to another organization where he's going to be the top dog is necessarily the answer for him.
Right.
He can't stay healthy, which is unfortunate because of how good he is. And I just don't see that situation getting any better. Like I said, man, everybody can't win a championship. Some people are destined to be ringless. Damian Lillard, they're probably about to get kicked out of here. I don't know if he's ever going to be able to get a ring because I don't know if Doc Rivers is the guy for them. Embiid, Devin Booker. Sometimes you're going to get close. Heck, the Celtics. I don't know if they're ever destined to get a ring because they seem to play. They can be enigmas from one game to the next, right? They're dropping the game to the Heat that they shouldn't have lost. They shouldn't lose, and they probably won't, but it would not surprise me at all if they lost to the Heat tomorrow night with no Jaime Jaquez. Who else is hurt? I think Hero might be out. Like
Terry Rozier.
They're dropping. Thank you, Terry Rozier. So I don't know, man. So we'll see. We'll see. I think next week, because of the time, because we wanted to make sure we recapped the battle rap events of the weekend. We didn't get a chance to really talk about the NBA NFL draft. I might see if we can try to pull in a guest to talk about that, winners and losers, who had the best draft. I have thoughts about the 49ers. I don't know what you think about what the Chiefs did. And plus, this weekend, I think we were on the move, so it's not like we were really paying attention to the draft Thursday. Yeah. So I do want to get a chance to really kind of take in everything that's happened in the NFL over the draft, obviously over the big news of, like, Michael Penix Jr., so on and so forth. So we might get a draft analyst on to talk about that. I'm pretty sure something would break in the world of battle rap. We'll talk about that this weekend.
Well, we got Swamp and A-Verb this weekend. So, yeah, this weekend. So, 23, Swamp versus A-Verb, and the Trenches card too, right? Easy versus Clips. Is that this weekend too?
Is that the day before? I think that's the day before, right? I
mean, they're both in the same weekend.
So, Trenches and Chrome 23 going down this weekend. We did not do a Trenches.
For two pay-per-views. Another $100 for two pay-per-views.
Hey, man, listen. Respectfully, bootleg gang might not be such a bad respectfully, guys. Yeah. If you want to check out our predictions for Chrome 23's event, we have that on the YouTube page. Go and check that out. Yeah, I think it's Miami Knights prediction is the name of the episode there. Go check it out, man. Please remember you can check out every episode of It's a Black and White Thing by going to the podcast app of your choice, searching for It's a Black and White Thing, commenting, reviewing, subscribing. Same thing for the YouTube at Brands and Bars. Rate, review, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Tell a friend, it's those boys again. Please share these broadcasts.
I pulled a green parallel Wimby rookie today.
Oh, fire.
I might get it graded.
Fire. Is it like how many of that particular one?
It's not a numbered one, but it could be like I've seen the graded ones up to like worth like 600. Like if they come back as like 9 or 10 gem mint. And so, you know, and that's just now, you know. So, like, I mean, if he ends up being, you know, one of the greatest of all time, you're looking at, you know, obviously more.
Random. Well, let me finish the outro here, but not ask this question. You can follow us on all social media. At Brains and Bars, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. And until next time, it's been a black
and white
thing. Okay, here's the question. God forbid, so heaven forbid, knock on wood, keep everybody safe. Your house is burning. You can only take one card. What card are you taking out of the house?
The birthday card my grandma gave me like 20 years ago. But I can only take one card. Dang, that's a good question. I'm taking the Peyton Manning rookie. Like, I don't have a card that's worth like so much money more than like the other cards, you know? Like, I have cards that are worth like I have maybe one card that's worth like 800, you know, something like that. Like nothing that's over like $1,000. And so I have a Peyton Manning rookie card that's worth like maybe like 120 bucks. But it's a Peyton Manning rookie card that I got, like, his rookie year. Like, I've had it since then, you know, like, in binders and everything. And it's not even in the greatest shape, so it might even not even be worth $120. But, like, it's just kind of like this, like, one of the starts of my, you know, card collecting, you know. So it's like the card I kind of remember always coveting and being like, oh, I got this. I would never trade it to anybody or anything. So I'm taking that.
Okay. All right. Cool. Cool.
That's so I run downstairs and I look at the Wimby and I'm like, sorry, Peyton. Like, it's got to go.
Well, hopefully you're never in that position. Long life and good health for your home as well as yourselves and wifey. So,
yeah, all right, you can see right now in my basement, all the cards are like on the couch and on chairs because when the thunderstorms came this weekend, like my basement's good. Like, they put in a French drain and everything in my backyard, but I had the boxes sitting on the floor. So when I heard all the bad weather and everything, I'm like, go downstairs, get the cards just in case anything happens, put them up on the couch.
For sure, for sure. All right, man. Until next time, man. Y'all be easy. We holler at y'all next week.
Peace.
Peace.